Today on Real Radio.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, those of you who give your heart to him, you're going to go home and you're going to tell your mom and dad or your husband and wife or your brother and sister. Do they always receive it gladly? No, the new patch can cause the garment to tear. There's a mix and it's not mixing at all. It's oil and water. And this little statement, Jesus lets us in on a powerful, unchanging theological truth, and it's this: you can raise a man from the dead, give him new physical life. You can cleanse a leper. You can heal somebody of their sickness. But what Jesus is teaching is you cannot make dead religion live again.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's where Jesus tells a parable using analogies of fabrics and wineskins. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, What's Filling You?
Luke's Gospel chapter 5. Verses 36 to 39, while you're turning there, I got to tell you that my daughter Ashley has got this Lhasa poo. You know what a Lhasa poo is? It's a cross between a poodle and a Lhasa Apso. And you would think because it's a mix, you would get a discount. But that's not the case. He's a very fun dog. He's crazy. A wonderful dog. His name's Jonah. Because he runs away when you call him. You say, Jonah, and he runs away and takes up the street. But he's a neat guy, very warm-hearted, love him. But you know what, when you buy him a toy, and our dogs have got a bunch of toys, when you buy him a toy, Jonah feels that like it's his divine mission to pin that toy down and tear the stuffing right out of it. I mean, he finds a little gap in it, tears it up, and begins to pluck it of what's inside. If you ever wonder, well, I wonder what's inside this little bear, Jonah's going to find out. And it's great because he'll have all this white stuffing all around his face. Now, our little dog, Sophie, she's a little 5-pound Yorkshire Terrier. There's a hole in our fence next door to our neighbor to the left of us. And there is a 105-pound golden retriever named Rusty. And what Sophie does, she gets through the gate, little hole in the gate. She's little. She goes through the hole and sits with Rusty. He's huge. She's little. She loves him. He loves her. When he lays down, she gets up on his back and sits there. But there's something, she's driven by him and wants to be near him. And I think she's learned something from Jonah. Because when Jonah plucks the stuffing out of the little teddy bears and stuff that he gets, Sophie will get a hold of Rusty and begin to pull the hair out of him. And he can't even tell. I think he just thinks it's a little bit bigger flea than what he normally has. But you'll say, Sophie, what are you doing? And she'll have all this fur in her mouth when she looks at you. She looks like she's got a mustache. It's huge. It's hilarious. The stuffing comes out. What's inside comes out. And God is going to be speaking to us. Jesus is going to be challenging us today about what's inside must come out. What's inside of us really tells who and what we are. So the title of the message is, What's Filling You? In Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 36, it says, Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. My friend, in your note-taking this morning, jot it down. I got to tell you, I'm excited about this. I'm more anxious about this message today than I have about messages most recently. Here's the reason why. I was so blessed in putting this message together. I was so excited. I had to get up. I had to just kind of thank you, God, and pray and say, God, just make sure that this does happen in my life, or make sure that this other thing doesn't happen in my life. I was moved. But so a lot of this is now personal to me, and I hope that God affects your heart maybe like that, or maybe even more. And so the challenge is, what's filling you? And so I want you to jot these down. The first thing that we notice here about what's filling us is this question that we're going to ask. Whatever's filling us, whatever's filling you, is it spiritual life? This is the point that Jesus is going to be driving. How so? Is it spiritual life? Will you jot that down? When he says to them, then he spoke a parable to them. And here's what he says. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. What he's talking about is regarding spiritual life, that it's available. Is it spiritual life in your life? And what we want to consider under this, because spiritual life is available. That's what Jesus is saying. Church, spiritual life is available. Note this. Who is he announcing this wonderful news to? Remember in our previous study, we're still in that setting. The Pharisees were attacking Jesus. They were attacking his disciples. They were questioning about what they believe and how they believe it, and eating, and rather than fasting, they should have been mourning rather than rejoicing. And the Pharisees wanted to quench what God was doing. Note this. Wherever there's true spiritual life, there is going to be vitality and newness. And they were watching Jesus' disciples in their new life. And so what Jesus was inviting them to understand is that new life is available. And it's just as available today as it was back then. New life, it's available. Jesus is introducing them by this parabolic teaching that there's a great difference between that which is old and that which is new, that which is done away and that which has come. And so when it says he spoke to them, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the word parable here, you might want to jot it down. It's a word that you easily understand. Para, like a parachute, is something that is alongside you or over you. When it says Jesus taught them this parable, it's a very, very wonderful term. It is a fishing term, and all of you fishermen can understand it. Para, alongside. Parabolos, that's the Greek word. To cast alongside, truth. To cast alongside, instruction, meaning. So Jesus spoke to them, casting alongside their head, their hearts, truth, just like a fisherman. Do you remember a little while ago, he told the disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men? This is how it's done. This is exactly how it's done. Jesus is going to deposit truth. Imagine, as we talked about last time, casting that rod out into the water. It goes down, and the bait goes right alongside the fish's head. And the fish is looking at it. The fish is considering it. But up until that point, it's just parabolic. It's just there. The fish will either take it or not. The outcome is up to the fish, not the fisherman. Church, do you understand that? The outcome, will the fish take the bait, is up to the fish. Will you take the bait of God's love, so to speak? Will you eat of what he offers you? God dangles and displays his witness right alongside you by parabolic teaching, examples and stories and images, insights, that if you are willing to consider what he's offering, you may very well be taking the bait. You may very well take the truth. If you are not interested, parabolic teaching, you'll look at it and say, I don't need that. I don't need anything to do with it. And you won't bite. That's what he's teaching. And this is a tremendous spiritual truth. Matthew 13:3, and Jesus spoke many things to the people in parables. Matthew 13:10-15 says, and the disciples came and asked Jesus, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever does not have, to him what he does have shall be taken away from him. Opportunity, this availability of truth. Watch this, verse 13. Therefore I speak to the people in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For these people's hearts have waxed gross or cold, and their ears have become dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed shut. Lest at any time, listen to this, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and that they should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and that I should heal them. A parable goes alongside a heart and a mind, and if someone is open to the gospel, they're going to take it. If they're closed to the gospel, they're going to reject it. You need to know that as a foundational truth in our study. Spiritual life is available to all people, but are you willing and are you open to say, God, I want you to speak to me? And this is going to become more vividly clear as we look into the study. So a parable is like a key. Look at it this way. A parable is like a key that fits into a lock that has been designed for that key. What good would it be if you go to Home Depot and you bought a lock and key set and the key is the wrong key for the set? A parable is cast alongside a heart that, like a key, fits into that heart. Are you with me, everybody? And it unlocks the heart, and there you go. It's a wonderful, amazing form of teaching. And by teaching this parable, Jesus is instructing those that are listening that the law and that the grace of God, the gospel of God, and the demands of the law cannot save a man. It doesn't mean that the law is unrighteous. No, the law is righteous. It doesn't mean that God's grace is weak. No, God's grace is gloriously strong. They are completely different. One is designed to convict you of your sins. That's all. And you'll hear a lot more about that in a moment. The other one is designed to save you from your sins. Are you with me? One is not bad. One is not, you know, good in the way of comparing that way. Both are necessary. But only one can save you. And it's not the law. The law is firm, it's rigid, it's immovable. Yes, it's holy and pure and perfect, but it has no mercy. The law has no compassion. It has no grace because it's made out of stone. So Jesus taught them about that which was to come, and that is the gospel of God. And so what about this old garment, he says right here? Very interesting. Regarding this opportunity for us and for this being available, when he says in verse 36, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Ladies, you might get this better than us guys. We had to read about it to figure it out. I guess when you have something that's old, an old shirt, you know, we all have our old favorite whatever it is. If you got a tear in it, guys like it better. Women want to patch it up. If you patch it up with a fresh garment, with a fresh patch, I should say, something that has not seen age or the washer or dryer, if you sew it on there, when it shrinks, it's going to destroy the fabric. It's going to destroy whatever you're trying to save. And in this, Jesus is talking about a comparison. And it's incumbent upon the hearers to understand he's making a distinction here. This is a very important thing. So he teaches them about an old garment. No one, he says, puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. It's going to rip it. It's going to tear it up. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, Romans 8, 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Church, this is a great verse, Romans 8, 3. Tells us exactly in correlation with Luke chapter 5, verses 36 to 39. Do you understand that? It's great. The law can do this, but it's weak. It can't save you. Grace has to come in and deliver you. And there could be no harmony between the two. Boy, I got to tell you, keep this in mind. Those of you in a church this size, I'm sure somebody's here, where there's a great battle going on the inside of you to try to live the best life you can. Listen, be very careful. I'm going to try to live the best life I can. I'm going to do all that God requires of me. Yes, I love Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. He rose again from the dead. But I'm going to I'm going to pray longer. I'm going to give more money. I'm going to do more things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I want to ask you, why are you going to do those things? Why? What's your motive? Well, because I believe in Jesus. I'm going to, you know, I trust him, but also I need to do these good works. Why? Well, you know, it'd be better between God and I if I do. Well, in what way? Well, I'll be saved. Doesn't James say that you'll know that I'm a Christian by my good works? Yeah, because you're a Christian, you do the good works. You cannot do the good works to become a Christian. You cannot do the good works to impress God. You cannot do the good thing and all the wonderful things that you and I would say, are you sure, Pastor? That's a real moral, a real godly thing to do. Those things should come out of a real life with Christ, not being the reason or the drive of how you obtain Christ. You cannot mix the requirements of ordinances and rules with being saved in the grace of God. Because you are saved, the fruit of your salvation comes out in what is called works. James and the book of Romans are in perfect harmony. This is a very vital thing. And if you understand it, it will set you free. You cannot do things to impress God. And you can't mix these two things together. Let the fruit flow. But the law can never be rightly met, correctly met, because it demands absolute perfection. Look at the next part of verse 36. Is it spiritual life? Because spiritual life is dynamic. That's what Jesus is teaching. Dynamic. He says, otherwise the new makes a tear. That fabric, so to speak, is so alive. It's got to move. That fabric is so full of vitality, it's got to do something. And as it's exposed to the elements, it's going to move, it's going to change. And when it begins to shrink up and mold and shape, it will rend the garment. So Jesus Christ, the gospel message, causes a tear. You know, this is not so much in my notes and I didn't really write it down, but you know, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, those of you who give your heart to him, you're going to go home and you're tell your mom and dad or your husband and wife or your brother and sister, do they always receive it gladly? No, the new patch can cause the garment to tear. There's a mix and it's not mixing at all. It's oil and water. And this little statement, Jesus lets us in on a powerful, unchanging theological truth. And it's this: you can raise a man from the dead, give him new physical life. You can cleanse a leper. You can heal somebody of their sickness. But what Jesus is teaching is you cannot make dead religion live again. He was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He has zoomed in on those guys. And Jesus is hoping, expecting them to respond to this parable. And with that, there's a huge responsibility to listen to him. You can't reform something that has no life. It's either dead or it's not. Reformation is only for which those things that need recovery. Jesus is saying that the law served its purpose to a point. He's come to save, but the law cannot save you. Jesus came to save, but the law cannot redeem you. Godless religion, the Bible says, is twice dead. Jude chapter 1, verse 12 says there, this religion that's dead and those that hold to it, they are like spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves because it's prideful and arrogant, they are like clouds without water, carried about by the winds. They're late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead. Pulled up by the roots, like raging waves of the sea, they foam up their shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. How is that? Because legalism will never get you to heaven. The old garment here is a garment of dead religion. If you want to write that down in your notes or in your margins, I think you ought to do that. The old garment is dead religion. A system long lost from God. A system or a work that has long gone bad. And so when Jesus is challenging them, he's challenging them to think anew. And when a new work comes along, as it did in their eyes, they're not willing to open it. They're all shut up against it. The dead will protest and criticize and then slip right back into their coma. They will always fight vitality. In fact, the dangerous thing is when you see an old, crusty, once in love with God, so-called believer, look at a new believer. And I don't mean new as in young of age. I mean new believer at any age, trusting Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, let's raise our hands or let's get involved. And that old, crusty, professing believer says, now just calm down. That is a dangerous statement. Hey, let's go to church and then let's go to that concert and then let's go see those that are in the hospital. Let's go visit the homeless. Now you don't want, now Sonny, just calm on down. Calm yourself now. You don't want to just, you know, save everybody in one moment. Well, why not? Stay away from that. Anybody telling you that? Run. Would to God that the church was filled with more vitality. Jesus never, never would want to mix the two of a dead religion with the vitality of a new work. Jesus did not come to repair the old system. Some scholars believe that this is what the Pharisees were hoping, is that Jesus, who they could not deny, would somehow acquiesce or somehow blend in to their ancient, old, established belief system. Jesus, look, just join us. Remember when Nicodemus came in John chapter 3? He said, we know that thou art a man come from heaven or from God, for no man can do the things you do. Nicodemus is representing the religious hierarchy. Well, we all agree on this, Jesus. You're something. You can really draw a crowd. So join us. Did you hear that? Hey, we recognize that you are really being led by God and being moved and drawing a crowd and people's lives are being changed and your message is biblical. So why don't you join us? Cults do that at your door. They knock and they say, we're being used by God. We're amazing. That sounds like a motivational commercial. Look at us. Join our church. What's the fruit of it? What's the message in it? Jesus is preaching. They don't believe the message, but they want his attention. Just join us, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you can't mix the two. In other words, allow me to say this. What I'm speaking, what I'm saying Jesus would be teaching is alive and vibrant. To your ears, it's new. You're caught up in traditions. You're bound by legalism. You've got the this and you can't do this and thou shalt not this and everything's a big no, 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 no to you. And I've come along and I say yes, 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 for all the promises of God in Christ are yes. Amen. This is the difference. And you and I don't sit here for a moment and say, well, boy, that person next to me really needs to hear this. I've been convicted about how much in my life is prone to tradition. You too. Well, it's the way we've always done it. Watch out. Maybe God wants to shake things up. It's the way it's always been. Then maybe it's time for a change. Well, we've always had this way or that way. It's always been that tall or this small. Shake it up, says the Lord. And so, he did not come to restore an old system to fix it. He came to replace it. Luke 22:20 says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new, what is it? The new covenant, the new testament, which is in my blood, which is shed for you. New. The Old Testament had its place. Yes, it's holy. And yes, it even speaks of the future. But that future is Christ. That future that it spoke of is Jesus and his blood.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What's Filling You? It's a look at the last four verses of Luke chapter 5. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative or Gospel of Luke, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Of course, we're approaching the final weekend of February, which means, as we have been telling you, the Southern California Bible Conference takes place this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Admission is free, so we advise you to get there early, starting on Friday. You can visit realradioactive.org or socalbibleconference.com. Either way, socalbibleconference.com or realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.